Well, good morning. When we look at the book of Job, it's a J-O-B, chapter 31. Job 31. I think I told you that I wanted to just kind of fly by some of these chapters, you know, like 50,000 feet as you look at the landscape of a state. It's like, oh, there's some mountains and a river, and okay, now we're moving on. But the Lord said, no, in these last couple chapters here with Job's last argument, God really wanted us to slow down and look at just every single verse, every single chapter. And in chapter 31, we're going to be looking at stamina and endurance. You know, there's two ways that we measure strength. There's two ways. There's the first way is how far, how fast can one run, how much can one lift until they're fatigued, and then how quickly can they recover from that fatigue. So we're looking at stamina as well as endurance. And in this country that we live in, or maybe I just say in the times that we live in, we need stamina and endurance. It seems like, man, I'm living for the weekends because I need a break. Sometimes I feel like I'm beat down by the time I get to the house. And Job has been giving us six chapters of his final argument, his final, this is it, I'm done. And this last chapter, the Lord shows us six different strengths that Job had. If you remember, in the very beginning, chapter 1, chapter 2, that as the enemy was talking to God about Job, God said, have you considered Job? He's a perfect man. And that means mature man. He's not sinless. He's mature. That word perfect means that he's mature. And so one of the things I want to look at is the number of man is six. I see six strengths here that Job had previously that brought him to carry him through where he is at now. Right now, he's like, boy, I'm done. I'm finished. I can die right now. But he's made it this far. He's going to continue to make it. And in your life, there's times when you say, I can't take another day. If I hear one more thing, I'm going to blow up. No, you're not. And so the Lord is our strength, and I want to look at six strengths here. And so we're just going to look at chapter 31 at six strengths that we can have, that we see in Job, that we have through Christ, to proclaim his grace, that the joy of the Lord would be our strength, and that we can reach our world around us. So in verses 1 through 4, it says, Job, I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman? For what is the allotment of God from above and the inheritance of the Almighty from on high? Is it not destruction for the wicked and disaster for the worker of iniquity? Does he not see my ways and count all my steps? Here Job says, he's finishing his last argument. He says, man, I've made a covenant with God, but with my eyes. I'm not even going to look at a woman. Doesn't God see what I've been doing? Doesn't even count. Don't you see what I'm doing? I mean, I remember when my kids, we used to play a game called hide and seek, and they used to do it like this. I'm over here. They want me to find them. And we so much want God to find us, don't we? And he says, don't you see what I've been doing? I mean, I haven't been doing these things to earn points, but I just want some fellowship here. And yet, for you and for Job, I want to remind you that in Psalm 17, it says, uphold my steps in your paths that my footsteps may not slip. Here, David is saying, hold my steps together. And in Psalm 40, he says, he also brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. So God is not only upholding Job's steps and your steps, but he's establishing those steps. And then in Psalm 119, he says, now direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. So the Father is already upholding, establishing, and directing our steps. And when we feel, when Job feels like, God, don't you see what I'm doing? He's already saying, and I've placed you where I want you. It's no mystery to me that you are in the place that you are right now. I've placed you there. I've directed your steps to be here. for such a time as this. What you might think is a disaster, I am building my kingdom through this. And then now in verses 5-8, we see the first strength. I call this integrity of authenticity. And he says this in verses 5-8, if I have walked with falsehood, or if my foot has hastened to deceit, let me be weighed on honest scales, or literally let him weigh me on honest scales, that God may know my integrity. If my step has turned from the way, or my heart walked after my eyes, or if any spot adheres to my hands, then let me sow and another eat. Yes, let my harvest be uprooted out, or completely uprooted and removed. And we're talking here about if I've walked in falsehood, and this thing that we need to have as believers, and what Job has had, is this integrity of authenticity. Being real. As I was looking at the New Testament, both Romans and James says a lot about that. In Romans 12, he says, let love be without hypocrisy. And then in James 3, he says, but the wisdom from above is without hypocrisy. So both wisdom and love that we claim to have says that needs to be removed from you. You can't be saying one thing on Sunday and living another day, another way every other day. Or you can't do one thing and yet do another. You can't speak out of both sides of your mouth. You need to have authenticity about you, to be real. Children know when you're bluffing them. So does the world. Jesus says this in John 15, I am the true vine. That should catch you right away. He tells us that there's already another vine out there. There's something else out there that people might think will satisfy, but Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because the word which I have spoken to you, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. And neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. And he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And so to have real authenticity, it speaks about being in the vine. To truly have fruit in your life, you can't be a hypocrite. You can't be fake or shallow. We have to be transparent. When I was in Israel, we were at these different places for morning devotion. At one time, we were at this really cool arbor with this grapevine. And the devotion was this very verse that I read to you. And the devotion point was, can you see where the branches stop and the vine starts? And it's really tough when you have all of the fruit and the leaves. And he says, the Lord wants our life so entwined in Christ that you don't even see where Jesus ends and where we begin. It's just, it's all fruit. It's all the Lord. And that comes from really having authenticity. This world is really desiring truth. This world needs to know the truth. And it begins with us walking in truth and being truth. And here he says in the next strength that we have in verses 9-12, he says something different. He says, if my heart has been enticed by a woman, or if I've lurked at my neighbor's door, then let my wife grind for another and let others bow over her. For that would be wickedness. Yes, it would be iniquity, deserving of judgment. For that would be a fire that consumes to destruction and would root out all my increase. Pointing back to verse 1 about having this covenant with his eyes, he says, if I have been enticed by a woman, and the strength that we need to have, men and women, is integrity of fidelity. It's so important to have this integrity of fidelity. Solomon says, can a man take fire to his bosom and not be burned? It's a rhetorical question. You play with fire and you will be burned. Speaking of adultery, he says, a man that commits adultery is reduced to a crust of bread. How many times have we seen a pastor or a leader fall to adultery and just watch his life just kind of, and before, he's like, well, whatever happened to such and such? And they've been reduced. Solomon says that a man that commits adultery lacks understanding. He destroys his own soul. Actually, he says anyone that commits adultery suffers from APL. That's arrow-pierced liver. Your liver is like your heart. If your liver goes, you die. And Solomon says that, you know, when one is committing adultery, it's like an arrow that pierces your liver. Something will die. Oh, maybe you physically won't die, but your relationship will die. Trust will die. It's so hard to recover. And so the strength that we need to have to live in the world that we are, to be salt and light, is to have that integrity of authenticity, to be real, to be you. I had to take my tie off. It was just like, man, I've got to be me. I got to be more comfortable. And I have to have integrity of fidelity. It's so important. And so let's hear what Jesus would say about that. Jesus says in Matthew 19, have you not read, I love that when he speaks to the scholars, haven't you read the scriptures? He who created them from the beginning made them male and female and said, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife and the two shall become one flesh. So they're no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. Here the Lord is talking about the strength of fidelity and says, you know what? It's no longer about you. It's no longer two people, but it's one person. When I'm giving marital counseling, I said, you're not sharing a roof. You're not sharing a name. You're not sharing a bed. It's two people sharing one life. You've become one. And it's so important. And we see the picture in Ephesians of the marriage of the husband and the wife as that picture of Christ and his bride, the church. And so it's so important, this integrity of fidelity. Verse 13. If I have despised the cause of my male or female servants when they complained against me, what then shall I do when God rises up when he punishes? How shall I answer him? Did not he who made me in the womb make them? Did not the same one fashion us in the womb? If I have kept the poor from their desires, or caused the eyes of the widow to fail, or eaten my morsel by myself so that the fatherless could not eat of it, but from my youth I reared him as a father, and from my mother's womb I guided the widow. If I have seen anyone perish for lack of clothing, or any man without covering, if his heart has not blessed me, and if he is not warmed with the fleece of my sheep, if I have raised my hand against the fatherless, when I saw I had help in my gate, then let my arm fall from my shoulder. Let my arm be torn from the socket, for the destruction from God is a terror to me, and because of his magnificence, I cannot endure. Here we see the third strength that we need to have to endure, and that would be the integrity of impartiality. Job here numbers them. He says, the servant, the poor, the widow, the fatherless, and those who lack. Throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Lord says, be careful how you treat those that are poor. Don't move the ancient boundary of the widow. Be careful with the fatherless. Actually, it says true religion is this, to take care of widows and orphans in their time of need and to remain unstained from the world. And he's saying here, don't be looking at these people and, oh, I can't help this person or this person. We need to be impartial. James, talking about impartiality in James chapter 2, really kind of shames those who would be impartial. Listen to what James says. James chapter 2, my brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. Don't let your faith be stained When we show partiality to people, when we withhold from others, our faith is stained. And the Lord wants us to have strength. You know, the hardest exercise to do is the very first one, isn't it? I used to cold call when I was in real estate. And you'd call different people. Hey, have you ever thought about selling your house? No. Have you ever thought about buying a house? No. And so you don't want to make those calls. The first one's the hardest one. So with the first call I would make every time, I'd call my wife. Hey, how are you doing? Would you ever buy a house for me? And once that first one's over, I can make another phone call. We can't be impartial. Jesus actually tells us in Luke chapter 14, you know what? When you're invited to a wedding or to a feast, take the lowest seat. Don't walk in there thinking that you're some hot stuff. Actually, Paul tells us that we should esteem others as better than ourselves. We take the lower seat. Why? Because the word says that if we humble ourselves before the Lord, he will lift us up. And so we can't be impartial. And what the world is really looking for is Jesus. And they'll see Jesus in the strength that you have with your authenticity, when you're real, not faking it, that painted on smile. How are you doing? Great. My favorite line is, you know that liars do not inherit the kingdom of God, right? Okay, I'm not doing so great. It's important to have a life that you're impartial, that you're showing everyone the same love. It's so important, or fidelity. The fourth strength that we see here that Job had from the very beginning that allowed God to say, this man here is perfect. We see it in verses 24 through 28. He says, if I have made gold my hope or said to find gold, you are my confidence. If I have rejoiced because my wealth was great and because my hand had gained much, if I have observed the sun when it shines or the moon moving in brightness so that my heart has been secretly enticed and my mouth has kissed my hand, this also would be an iniquity deserving of judgment, for I would have denied God who is above. See, Job has already practiced these things, and this next strength is the integrity of loyalty. You shall serve the Lord God and him only. Actually, I love Jesus would always quote Deuteronomy. It's one of the most quoted books. And Jesus quoted Deuteronomy chapter 6, both when he was being tempted by Satan and when someone asked him, what's the greatest commandment? Deuteronomy 6 says, hear, O Israel, the Lord is God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And Job says, if I've made gold my hope, just Rockefeller was asked, how much money does somebody need to have to be considered rich? Do you know what his response was? Just a little more. Just a little more. If I make gold my hope, if I've made gold my idol, my God, or if I've made the sun and the moon and I did this nature worship or worshiping creation. Actually, in Romans chapter 1, Paul warns us about the wrath of God being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. And he says, they are without excuse because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God and they were not thankful. And became futile in their thoughts, and in their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God to an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Yesterday, we had a meeting with some of the leadership, and we were talking about things, and Cher was telling us how in her study with her and her husband, they were looking at, we're in Exodus, and they were looking about how the Lord told Israel to ask their owners and their neighbors for some gold, that they would take gold with them. And it says that they plundered Egypt because they took all this gold. And Cher thought, well, gosh, why would God want them to take gold? They're going out into the wilderness. God knew they'd be out there for 40 years. I mean, why did they take all this gold? And as she kind of stepped back and looked at it, That gold's used for two purposes, to make either a golden calf or to build the tabernacle of God. So I had to ask myself, how am I spending my money? Am I building a calf for my own desire, or am I building the kingdom of God? Who's using what? Am I using my money to further the kingdom, or is my money using me to run in circles day after day, day after day, day after day? And Jesus says, you shall love the Lord your God and serve him only. Where's my loyalty? And so our strength needs to be very clear who we serve. My favorite one is in verses 29 through 37, this next strength. I mean, some people like doing push-ups and some people like doing pull-ups. I don't like to do any of those. I do downs. You know, I do sit-downs. I do lay-downs. I don't do anything with ups. But here in verses 29 through 37, he says this. If I have rejoiced at the destruction of him who hated me, or lifted myself up when evil found him, indeed I have not allowed my mouth to sin by asking for a curse on his soul. If the man of my tent have not said, who is there that has not been satisfied with his meat? But no sojourner had to lodge in the street, for I had opened my doors to the travelers. If I have covered my transgression as Adam by hiding my iniquity in my bosom, because I feared the great multitude and dreaded the contempt of families, so that I kept silent and did not go out of the door. Oh, that I had one to hear me. Here is my mark. Oh, that the Almighty would answer me, that my prosecutor had written a book. Surely I would carry it on my shoulder and bind it on me like a crown. I would declare to him the number of my steps. Like a prince, I would approach him. Here he says, if I have rejoiced at the destruction of him who hated me, or I was so afraid of man that I didn't go outside to help them, if I've covered my transgressions like Adam, this next strength really is the integrity of charity. You see, love does not rejoice in iniquity, but love rejoices in the truth. And here he says, I need to be able to love even when love hurts, or even when love costs me. I have to love. Love is an interesting thing, isn't it? Jesus says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I've loved you, and that you also love one another. And by this, all will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. So the question I ask, what does love look like that the world would know I'm Jesus' disciple? What does that love really look like? I mean, at this point, Jesus didn't die for them. He hadn't been taken to the cross. He says, as I have loved you, love each other. I don't think Jesus walked on water to demonstrate his love. I don't think the healings of a blind man or a lame man or a leper was all done out of love. It could have been, but he didn't do that to show love. Jesus himself testifies how he loved them. And he's going to testify how he loves you. In John 17, Jesus, we call it the high priestly prayer, or we call it the Lord's Prayer. Here, Jesus is talking to the Father, and he says, this is what I have done. This is what I have done up to this point. John 17, this is what Jesus says, how I've loved my people. Jesus says in verse 6, I have manifested your name. In verse 8, he says, I have given them your word. Verse 9, I have prayed for them. I am glorified in them, he says in verse 10. Verse 12, I have kept them in your name. Jesus manifests the name of God, revealed the name, and he's kept them in the name. He's prayed for them. Then he goes on to say, I've also sent them into the world. As you've sent me, I've sent them. And then finally he says, for their sakes I have sanctified myself that they would be sanctified. And I have declared to them your name and will declare it that the love with which you loved me would be in them, and I in them. Church, Jesus wants you to love one another as Christ has loved his disciples. And it has to do about the relationship that he has had with his Father and declaring that to his disciples. It's about relationships. The world needs to see that you love each other, you care for one another, that you share the word of God, you glorify God with one another. Paul says, sing hymns and spiritual songs to one to another, to sanctify yourself for the benefit of others. There are times I have to separate myself for the benefit of others. I set myself off in times for prayer that my family would be covered. There's times I set myself apart to study that the body would be covered. There are things in your life that you need to step away from for the benefit of others. That's what love does. Love manifests the name of the Lord. Love declares the name of the Lord, and love keeps one in the name of the Lord. That's called accountability. Calling somebody up and saying, are you sure you don't want us to take you to the hospital? That's calling someone up and saying, hey, you're alone this week. Why don't you come over to our house? Or, hey, you're alone this week. We're coming to your house. Do you have anything to eat? It's about reaching and touching and investing in the lives of people. It's about the love of God flowing from one to another. In verses 38 through 40, we see the last of them. And he says, if my land cries out against me, and its furrows weep together, if I had eaten its fruit without money or caused its owners to lose their lives, then let thistles grow instead of wheat and weeds instead of barley. And here is the integrity of honesty. Job says, if I have eaten something without money, if I have not paid for something, if I have just taken something without paying for it. It's been said that a liar is a thief. And a thief is a liar because the thief deceives you with regards to your wealth and the liar deceives you with regards to your trust. Jesus just simply says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Be honest. Be honest. Have honest scales. Isn't that one of the things that the way of the master is, have you stolen anything? Does it matter of what value? Oh, I've never stolen anything. Now you're lying. So, but the deal is we need to be honest. It's very similar to being authentic. But Romans says, the night is far spent, gang, and the day is at hand. Therefore, cast off the works of darkness and let's put on the armor of light. You and I have been called to be children of light. Six strengths that Job had prior to all of these things, he has now, and then as he continues to go on, we see them. He has authenticity, he has fidelity, he has impartiality, he has loyalty, charity, and honesty. The world that we live in is confused, and what the world needs is a constant flow of truth.